The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Now he had gone out. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God had been glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love, have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord. Please be seated. It was my first funeral that I had ever had a part in. I was pastoral assistant at St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Camden Town, just outside of London, England, and a longtime member had passed away, and I was in charge of writing the prayers for the memorial service. And as I am a little bit of a perfectionist, I agonized over these prayers. They had to be perfect. And as I was writing and being frustrated in the church office, a woman came in named Vida. Vida was from a small village in Ghana and immigrated with her family to the UK about 10 years prior so that her grandchildren could attend university in London. Vida was a woman of wisdom, of experience, and faith, who was very active in our faith community, and seen by many in our church as consistently there for people when needed. And so, of course, she noticed my facial expressions of frustration, and she came over and asked how I was doing. And I explained to her how I just couldn't seem to get the proper prayer. And so she said, "Well, sitting down next to me, do you know what prayers do for the ones that pass on?" I said, "No." And so she said, "Well," she proceeded into a long story and an explanation about how this recent church member was now a great spirit. And the spirit, being detached from their body, was now before the memorial service floating around and saying goodbye to everything that it had encountered in the world. And she described to me that it was then the prayer, and I assumed she was talking about the funeral prayer, that ignites the resurrected Jesus fire, which will then rise, and I couldn't tell if it meant in the funeral or when, but it will rise all of us first, in her words, and then all living things, as she pointed to the Tree of Life poster at the opposite end of the office, and then this Jesus fire will meet the spirit of the person at the cross. And then this fire will pull the spirit into the great paradise. And she made a gesture towards the ground. "Your prayer," she said, "just needs to call on the great paradise in order to resurrect the Jesus fire." She then gave me a big hug and left. Now, I don't know where to start in addressing the numerous Western heresies within Vida's explanation of Jesus, of God, and of the resurrection. In fact, they're so numerous, they're almost laughable. Vida's Christian understanding, obviously coming from her African roots, of God is vastly different from mine, being mostly brought up in a Western Christian practice. But is it a wrong understanding? Who and what, then, I think is the question. Who and what is God in our time and in our space? And I think the reflection on this question is very appropriate on this Earth Day Sunday. Because Christianity in many generations, especially Christianity of Western descent, I believe, has traditionally seen God in a very particular way. And we all know the story, right? God came to us, a human being, suffered death and rose again as a physical human being, permitting all of us human beings who believe in this human being resurrect to go to a place called heaven. Now, I believe that this story is true. And I have faith in this story. Absolutely. But is this story the only story that's true? Is this the only way for a Christian to know God through Jesus Christ? Unfortunately, this well-known Christian story has led to what I believe is a persecution. Not of human beings, though that might be debatable, but the earth. There has been no room traditionally in Western understanding of God for the earth, and it has been used to justify destruction. If God is a human being and absent from earth, then of course we have nothing to worry about in taking from the earth what we need at will. This understanding has led to many statements and actions from people across the globe. Maybe most famously and most publicly culminating in a statement by James Watt, the Secretary of Interior under President Reagan, who said publicly in a congressional panel, "God gave us these things to use. After the last tree is felled, Christ will come back." Well, indeed, if we follow Watt's logic, we are well on our way to Christ coming back. Half of all animals and plant species could face extinction by 2050. Americans dump 16 tons of sewage into their waters every minute. We lose 375 kilometers of forest every day. And 80% of Earth's original forests are now gone. Our taking of the earth has now had such an impact that it is now beginning to negatively impact our human health in significant ways. Christ hasn't come back yet, from what I can see. Yet more of us are breathing polluted air, drinking contaminated water, and living on a warmer earth. Something is wrong. And it seems like a possible reevaluation is needed. Who is God? You know, the Apostle Peter faced this question in a huge way in our reading in the book of Acts today. Here was someone, a good Jew, who knew how to follow Jewish kosher eating customs. He didn't eat pork. He drained all the blood before consuming any animal. And he only accepted meat prepared by fellow Jews. Yet here he was, challenged not only to eat the food prepared by these heathens of Cornelius and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, but also to take the radical step in baptizing them. Oh my goodness. He was challenged to see God in a bigger way. And you know what? Thank God he did. Thank God that Peter, Paul, and the other disciples rose to this challenge of seeing God in a bigger way. Because you know what? The Christian community would not be here right now if they did not see God in a bigger way. Our Christian community is based on an extended understanding of who God is and where God dwells. I think we need to continue that tradition. And here's an example. You know, did God dwell in the incarnation, that in the birth of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus' body? Well, yes. Yes, God did. But can we see God's incarnation in Jesus also as God's incarnation with the entire earth? Can we see Jesus' resurrection not just in his body, but in the earth itself? I think for the future of humankind, in relationship to earth, it is absolutely essential that we challenge ourselves and our tradition to see God bigger. In our class in the Gospel of John right now, we had our second session before worship today, those who have attended this class can tell you how much of a stink I was with the label that John gives as the Jews. This "the Jews" term is used all over the Gospel of John and appears in a lot of places and has been a free ticket of Christians persecuting Jewish brothers and sisters for over 1,000 years, including being a reason for Nazi persecution of Jews. Yet one forgets that Jesus, Mary, and the disciples are Jews. And John, even in John chapter 4, verse 22, goes on to say salvation comes from the Jews. So an argument that this is just a blanket general term that refers to an ethnic population doesn't make any sense. And anyone who sees it as a blanket term is very misinformed. The Gospel of John doesn't see this as an ethnic term. It is a theological term. Dr. Frank Maloney, a Roman Catholic scholar on the Gospel of John, writes, "This term, the Jews, is meant, for good or worse, to describe those who have closed their minds to Jesus, or who reject his disciples because they have decided that there is one way to God, and Jesus is not part of that." He goes on to say that the Jews, as John refers to them, refer to the ones who are living in a closed religious system. Can then we all have a bit of the Jews, as John says, in us? Can we too live in a closed religious system that limits God? Which brings me back to Vida. Now, in theory, St. Michael's Episcopal Church of Camden Town could throw Vida out because she is not professing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in accordance with the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. And actually, in telling me her faith, she is technically spreading Christian heresy. But this would be unthinkable, laughable, to throw Vida out. For even the members who had a strict understanding of the Christian faith in accordance with the Western traditions of the church loved, valued, and respected Vida as an elder, as a sister in Christ. Maybe that's where Jesus truly dwells. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another," says the Gospel of John. May we, like the Apostle Peter, be challenged in who God is and how God is present. May we have the courage to expand our tradition beyond the closed religious system. And may we see the earth not as void, but as a partner, the new Gentile who can teach us the newness and radical presence and love of God. Amen.